Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Emor. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Emor. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha has an incredible spiritual message. And here I'm not speaking of the parsha as a whole, which it certainly does, but I'm talking about every single verse in Vayikra, which is Torat Kohanim, the laws of the Kohanim, a holy, holy book which deals with holiness, has a message for us, even though the message has to be uncovered, unpacked, brought to life. So let's go to chapter 18, Perek Yudchet, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, God speaks to Moshe, saying, in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Daber al Aharon vel bono vel kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, speak to Aaron and his sons and to the entire children of Israel, and say to them the following, Ish ish mi beit Yisrael min hager bi Yisrael asher yakriv korbano, L'chol nidrehem, l'chol nidvotam, asher yakrivu, radunoi, le'ola. Ishish, each man, each individual, each person, ishish, from the house of Israel, and also from the stranger in Israel, who will offer a sacrifice, all their sacrifices that they have done as a free will offering, either as a neder, as a vow, nidvotam, as a free will obligatory gift that they made obligatory upon themselves. In other words, it wasn't from any sort of other verse they have to offer it. They will offer up to God as a olah. Now, olah is translated as a complete burnt offering. It's an elevation. And really what I want to talk about from this verse comes a fascinating understanding of the superiority of the Trinity. It's a Jewish Trinity, mind you. But a true superiority in dedication of the offering that is brought by a pagan in terms of his dedication to God over that which is offered by an Israelite. All this needs to be explained. And the source of that is in the Tractate Menachot, much discussions about various forms of sacrifices. And we have a Braita, we have a Mishnaic statement from those statements that were in the first and second century CE of the Christian era. And it says there, Ish. It says, all we need really for this verse, Ish mi beit Yisrael, just a man from the house of Israel. Why do we have the repetitive notion of Ish, Ish? Man, man, person, person, if you want to translate it that way. Or we say any person, Ish would be sufficient. But Ma Talmud Lomar Ish Ish, why this repetition? And we know that's the basic rabbinic principle. There's no extra words, and therefore you seek the extra word. And from what is seemingly the extra word, you derive meaning. Ma Talmud Lomar Ish Ish, what does it say? Man, man? L'rabot et ove kochavim, to include the idolater. So therefore, in this verse, which talks about any man from the house of Israel, man from the house of Israel, and from the stranger, which could be understood as the utter stranger who comes in, or could be understood, as we do rabbinically understood it, as the convert, they can bring up these sacrifices. The rabbis teach us that even a pagan, even an Ovei Kochavim, is allowed to offer a sacrifice in the temple. That's a great opening. Rabbi Akiva Omer, later on in the description, Asher Yakrivu Ladonoi, that there's a certain type of understanding that needs to take place in terms of the sacrifice that is offered by the pagan. That the pagan, when he offers a sacrifice, no matter under what rubric it may have been brought, he quotes the verse, Asher Yakrivu L'Adonai, which will be sacrificed to God, L'Allah, for an elevation, for a burnt offering. Rabbi Kiva says, Ein li ela Allah bilvad. It will always and only be placed finally under the classification of a completely burnt offering. So even if there was some intent and some knowledge and some even statement that this offering should be under a different rubric, for example, the Shlamim, and we're going to talk about the Shlamim, the peace offering. No. When it comes to a pagan is allowed. According to this verse, a pagan is encouraged. A pagan is able to celebrate the sacrifice when he sacrifices to the true God. And it's always brought as a elevated, completely burnt sacrifice. The Gemara had discussed this. And this, by the way, as it says in Gemara Menachot, and this is Ayin Gimel Amud Bet 73b, and it says this whole notion that when a pagan brings a sacrifice, it's immediately defined as an Allah, as an elevated, completely burnt offering. And the Gemara says it could be from that verse that we have from Rabbi Akiva, when it says Ish Ish LeRabo to Ove Kochavim. Says man twice, which includes even the idolater. And Rabbi Kiva says, and look at the end of the sentence, when the idolater brings it, it can only be for an Allah. Eboy Dema Krav, Eboy it's Ema Svara. You can say that the Shalmei HaOvdei Kochavim Olot, that even when the Ovdei Kochavim ostensibly brings a peace offering, is considered to be a ola, an elevated offering. And you can say that comes from the verse, as that end of the verse says, Rabbi Kiva quotes, L'rabot says, Ove Kochavim, that's the beginning of the verse, and at the end of the verse, it says, Asher Yakrivu L'Adonai L'Ola, it always becomes an ola. You can also understand it from a svara. Svara means logic. Now, what's the logic? Oved kochavim, logic means sometimes intuitive logic. It means knowledge of understanding. It's knowing, a deep understanding. Oved kochavim libo l'shamayim. What a statement. And oved kochavim, when he offers a sacrifice, his heart is to heaven. Libo l'shamayim, his heart is to heaven. Rashi says there on the Gemara, Kavanato hu sheyeh korbanotav kolil l'shamayim v'lo sheyachlu. His intent, his kavanah, his kavana, if you want a religious way of saying it, his kavana, his intent, is that his korban, his sacrifice, should be completely towards heaven, and not that it should be eaten. Well, what is the other type of sacrifice, in order to understand this? And that is the Shlamim sacrifice. That's the peace sacrifice. Those are the two rubrics that we're talking about here. The peace offering, the Shlamim, or the complete offering, or the completion offering, as I would translate it. And according to the Tanchuma, and this now, the explanation about the Shlamim, is something which is found in Tanchuma and has been explained by my grandfather, the legendary Menachem Sion. Menachem Sion, the comforter of Zion, Rabbi Menachem Sachs brings down in the Tanchuma, which is a great midrashic work. The midrash says, "V'zot Torah zevach hashlamim." What does it mean by a peace offering? A verse that is first used in Leviticus 7. Lama ne'amar zevach hashlamim. Why do they say this? It's a sacrifice of completeness, shalom, shalem, of completeness. Shehu oseh shalom bein mizbeach shadama ve'imureha lemizbeach levein hakohanim shehachazev hashuk lekohanim uvein Yisrael sheora ubisara ora with an iron ubisara leYisrael lefikach nikra zevach shalomim sheoseh shalom akol. It's called the shalomim because it makes peace. Makes peace between who? Between the altar on which the blood and the innards are offered on the altar between, and with that, with also the Kohanim, who receive priestly gifts of the frontal parts of the animal, and between the Israelite, who receives the hide and the majority of the flesh for his own use and consumption. Therefore, the Midrash says, it's called Shlamim, peace offering, because everyone participates. And he points out that there's a truly great, deep meaning in this, Kavanah Amuka, a deep, deep structure meaning, that the Korban Shlamim is the only sacrifice from all the sacrifices that really symbolizes a major holy principle of our people. And what's that principle? And the principle that is enunciated in the Zohar, Kudsha Brichu Araita V'Yisrael Chadhu, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Torah and Israel are all one. The Holy One, blessed be He, the Torah and Israel are one. I promise you a Jewish trinity. Without any separation, without any fragmentation. Beliko hafradava havdalah, as my grandfather says, in blessed memory. A shlamim sacrifice glues these three, unifies these three. Catch this. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Well, that's the part that God receives, I'm putting receives in quotation marks, on the altar, that is burnt on the altar. As we say, Ishei Reach Nichoch Adonai. It's a fire of a pleasing smell to God. And that is how that part of the sacrifice is called, the part that is burnt up on the altar. Oraita, the Torah, that second part of our Trinity, that's the part that's given to the priests. Remember, the priests were the teachers of Israel. The priests before the rabbinic period, they were the teachers, as it says in the prophet Malachi. Ki siftei kohen yishmeru dat, the Torah yivakshu mipiu. Because the lips of the kohen preserve knowledge, and one should seek the Torah from their mouth. Eh? Oraita are the Kohanim, and remember, the Kohanim get their gift, they get that part, and the Kohanim are really defined by their Torah. And what about the third? We had the Holy One, blessed be He, we've had the Torah, Yisrael. The Israel is a community, but Israel is also an individual. That's the peace that goes to those who offer the sacrifice. So it's called the Shlamim because all three come together. The front part of the offering goes to the Kohen, who represents Torah. The parts of the offering that are burnt up to God, are going obviously to God. Israel is the majority of the high, the majority of the meat. Those three are put together. The Trinity of Israel, of the Jewish people, are the Jewish people, their Torah, and God, and we can't separate one from another. They're not different entities. In the end, to become one entity, this is the basis not only of Jewish mysticism, it's the basis of Jewish theology. Whenever you drop one, you end up, you end up with tragedy. You end up with a Pew report. You end up with fragmentation, disunity, and the core of the Jewish people are eviscerated. Well, we speak now in praise of, so my grandfather taught. And now I want to add to what he taught. I want to speak based on the Talmud that is there, that is present. The piece that I quoted before, Shalmei Ha'ovdei Kochavim Olot, that even the peace offerings of the Ovdei Kochavim are transferred into being elevated, fully burnt offerings, the part of the Talmud he doesn't quote. And that's the part that says the notion that the Ovei Kochavim, the Svara, the deep, deep structure, deep logic that Ove Kochavim Liba Lishamayim, his heart is to heaven. Rashi just emphasized that. His heart is completely to heaven. This is a praise of a certain type of complete and utter devotion. Coming back this past week from a family trip for Pesach to Tuscany and seeing the great arch, you see the utter, complete devotion in Christian art. You see it, the utter, complete devotion to one principle, and it's a principle that they serve their God. So when a pagan comes and serves the God of Israel, the true God, the universal God, whatever way, excuse that he had come in, however type of sacrifice that he originally wanted to give, the sacrifice that he is giving in the end is libo, is his heart. His heart, l'shamayim, is to heaven, and as Rashi says, completely and fully to heaven, not to be eaten. As it were, the Jewish people operate in a different plane. The different plane is that this life, and this people, and this body is crucial to us. The body politic of the Jewish people. The ideals that guide us and that mold us, the Torah, are all part with God that we cannot separate. It's not as pure as the other service. And that's why I said before. It's not as pure. It's not devoted only to God. It's devoted to the whole mix. But this is who we are. And this is what defines us. I just repeat that slogan of ours. Kutche brichu, a right of Yisrael chadhu. The Holy One, blessed be He, the Torah and Israel are one, and that's how they shall remain. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.